to you all. It's good to see you in the Lord's house today. And in our call to worship, I want to draw your attention to John chapter 4. I begin reading at verse 20. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Now this was the woman at the well. And she's responding to Jesus, and she's bringing up an old rift between the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And we've been worshiping up in here in Samaria, and the people of Judah say we're supposed to be worshiping down in Jerusalem. And the Lord Jesus Christ turns the conversation completely around at that point. And this is what he says. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. Let me tell you something. She was worried about the place of worship, and Jesus was worried about her soul, that she might worship the Father. You know, so many times people get mixed up, do they not? They start getting their minds all wrapped around where we're supposed to worship. She was thinking, you know, you Jews keep talking about we're supposed to be worshiping down in Jerusalem and we worship up here in Samaria. And the Lord Jesus says, it's not about that. You don't know what you worship. Our Lord was pointed, was He not? He's not like many today that are, they like to couch their words and be very sweet and nice and so forth. He went right to the point. You don't know what you worship. The Father seeketh such to worship Him. How? To worship in spirit and in truth. That should be our desire today as we've come together to worship the Lord with our singing through the hearing of the preaching of God's Word. And we pray today that we might worship Him in spirit and in truth. The Father seeketh such. Will He find them here among us? I pray so. Let's take our hymn books, please, this morning, and let's turn together to number 348 as we begin our worship service together. 348, My hope is in the Lord who gave Himself for me. 348, let's stand together as we sing. Standing for prayer as Brother O'Pager comes to lead us.
Father, how glad we are to be in the house of the Lord this morning. We're thankful for this good hymn that we have just sung. And we're thankful, Father, that the message of the gospel will be broadcast from this pulpit this morning. And we pray your blessings upon Brother Hall as he speaks to us this morning. May our hearts be open, Father. And as we have taught in Sunday school, we pray that we might take heed to that which is being broadcast, the light that is being given, that we might not lose the light, but to take the light, Father, and grow thereby. We're thankful, Father, that we're here this morning. We praise God for the wonderful time that we can spend in the worship service this morning. We pray that you just continue to bless in a mighty, mighty way. Father, we're thankful for the ministry you've raised up here. We pray that you'd continue to guide our ministry, that we might follow you in every step and in every way. Rid us of those things that we ought not to have, and fill us with those things that we ought to have. And we're thankful, Father, for that. Do bless our pastors, Father, as they lead the work here. Give them the wherewithal, the good health, the needs met, that they might lead this work into new places to take ground for thee, Father, as we continue to minister in our country. We pray for our country, Father. We pray that you would undertake for our leaders, that they might lead us in the right direction, in the right way. Help our president, Father, to know thee as his Savior. Help our Congress, Father, to look out for our nation, not themselves, not other interests, but help them to look out for this nation, Father, and to trust in you as a minister in the office of legislation. Bless us, Father, in this day. Help us to have a wonderful time together this morning and this evening. Give us good health. Help us all to be in the services this week, Father, that we might hear the Word of God. Help us, Father, to invite folks to come that have not trusted Christ as their Savior, and that we might see folks saved this week. We're thankful, Father, for the wonderful time that we can be together, and we pray your blessings upon all of it, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Let's turn together now to number 411. Number 411, we praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Revive us again. 411.
By the
Let's turn in our hymn books to number 315. Number 315. Days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and drear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Let's sing together on the first and last stanzas of 315. Pastor Watt is going to come at this time with a special on the euphonium. We've got the Olympics coming up very shortly, and there's always those people that you see that start the race well. They all come out of the blocks, and they're skiing down the slope and racing their way through, but there's only one gold, one silver, and one bronze. Some of them have been training for years. It's important to start well, but it's also important to finish well. I thank the Lord so much for the ministry of Dr. Bill Hall. I've grown up hearing Dr. Bill Hall preach. He's been such a blessing and encouragement to pastors all around this country in preaching the Word of God, exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful that we don't have to make an apology for Dr. Bill Hall. I've had a lot of letters that I've saved over the years from missionaries that had to come home from the field because they didn't finish well. They got involved in relationships or things that they shouldn't have been involved with. There have been a lot of pastors that have had to step out of the pulpit and leave the ministry because they didn't finish well. But I thank the Lord for Dr. Bill Hall, who's been a faithful servant of the Lord. He has honored the Lord in music over the years. He and his wife have just been such a blessing. And I thank the Lord that he is able to come and be with us today and to preach God's Word. And I thank you that you have a testimony all around the country for being faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. So would you come and share what God's laid on your heart this morning?
It's an honor to be here.
Amen.
Amen. It feels kind of like coming home when we come back here. First time I was in the ministry here, Dr. Hobbs, was the principal of a public school, and you met in a little white church building, I think, in Baghdad. And so that was a long time ago, before many of you were born. All right, there are two verses that I want to share with you this morning, and I don't want to hold you too long, so you'll come back. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and in verse 10, Paul was comparing the apostles with a lot of the folks in the church at Corinth who wanted to be so intellectual and scholarly, some of them. And Paul said concerning the apostles, including himself, "We are fools for Christ's sake." That is, we are accounted to be fools for Christ's sake. And then in Luke chapter 12, the Lord told about a farmer who had good crops, and he had enough business sense to say, "I don't have enough storage room," so he built bigger barns to put all the grain in. But then he came to the wrong conclusion after the harvest. He said, "I've got it made now. Eat, drink, and be merry." And God said to him in verse 20, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." The tale of two fools. First of all, the fool for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are fools for Christ's sake. Christ himself was accounted to be a fool. Mark chapter 3 and verse 21. "And when his friends," that is his kinsmen, "heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself." In other words, he's crazy. So even the relatives and the close friends of the Lord Jesus said he's crazy. He's a fool. And of course his enemies accused him of being a fool, and worse. They said he casteth out devils through the prince of the devil. I don't know if that angers you, but it does me. And when you come to Calvary and you see him there hanging between two thieves, the one who went around doing good, the one who came with a merciful heart to save sinners, here he hangs between two thieves. What a foolish sight. The world would have said, "What a wasted life. What a fool." The foolishness of Calvary is still preached in this world. We are fools for Christ's sake. And you know, our Lord taught us that if we were going to be his followers, we should expect the world to have the same opinion of us that it did of him. In John chapter 15, he told the disciples to love one another. But then he left that pleasant subject and said, "If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." If the world loves you, then you're probably like the world. But if you are living for Jesus Christ, you will be an offense to this world. And our Lord said in Luke chapter 6, verse 22, blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. And you remember one of the Beatitudes, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. And evidently, the disciples took this literally, because they were accounted to be fools. On the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God had filled them, and these once cowardly, timid disciples, some of them, all of them, now they're empowered and emboldened. And here they're witnessing to everybody. And some said, why, aren't these a bunch of Galileans? In other words, these are a bunch of hillbillies. And here they are speaking in foreign languages. And look what's happening, and the crowd was confounded by the boldness of these men and their witness for Jesus Christ. And this continued until, of course, it brought about great persecution from both the Pharisees and the Sadducees there in Judea. And in Acts chapter 5, toward the end of the chapter, they said, you fill Jerusalem with your doctrine. And they beat them. I mean, they beat them. And commanded them not to say anything more about this Jesus preaching the resurrection. And it says in the last two verses of Acts 5, they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Oh, they were proud to wear the badge. We are fools for Christ's sake. But especially the Apostle Paul, who spoke these words. He said the apostles were like a spectacle before the world, here in 1 Corinthians 4. It was like they were on a stage as actors, and everyone in the world was watching them. And he said, not only the world, but the angels. Oh yes, every one of us are still being watched by this world and by others. And Paul stood before, and we were there in Caesarea 2 years ago in the Holy Land. Paul stood before Festus, and I always pictured it a courtroom-like thing, but no, it was an amphitheater-like, and Paul was down here in chains, and up there was Festus and all the dignitaries. And Festus said to him in Acts chapter 26, as he thus spoke for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the word of truth and soberness. Oh, no, this isn't some intellectual thing I'm on. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not crazy. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 13 and 14, he said, whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God. Or whether be sober, it is for your sake. For the love of Christ constraineth us. If you want to say I'm crazy, if you want to say I'm a fool because I'm a follower of Christ, the resurrected Christ, He said, I can't help it. The love of Christ constrains me to be a fool for Christ's sake. And everywhere he went, he manifested that. Listen to him. In the prison, or in the jail there in Philippi, he and his preacher partner, Silas, perspiration runs off of the back of their neck down the raw wounds on their back from the beating they've received. It's getting close to midnight in this smelly place, the smell of perspiration, rats running across their legs. An awful, awful place it would seem. And maybe Silas said, Paul, your back hurt? Yeah, it hurt some, Silas, but hasn't God been good? Wait, Lydia got saved, and that demon-possessed girl, she got saved, and some others been saved. And you know, there's a real possibility of a local church here in Philippi. My God's doing some wonderful things because we're here. Yeah, Silas says, that's right, Paul. God is good. Let's sing a psalm. Well, Paul said, which psalm do you want to sing? And so they started singing one of the old psalms. And the Lord enjoyed the singing so much, he started patting his foot, and it caused an earthquake. And the jail doors come open. And the jailer, hearing all the commotion, and hey, if a prisoner escapes, the jailer loses his life. So he started to commit suicide. And they said, don't do yourself any harm. We're here. And he came trembling to Paul and Silas, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And you know the answer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And that jailer got saved, his household. No doubt they became a part of the church that helped to support Paul on so many of his missionary journeys. Yeah. Fools for Christ's sake. And I'm glad in the 21st century that we've got some young people that are willing to be fools for Christ's sake. And we've got some folks here in this church that are standing up for Christ. No matter what the other churches do and what the world does, you're willing to be a fool for Christ's sake. So I say, let's continue. Wear the badge proudly. We are fools for Christ's sake. That is, we're accounted fools. Now then, what about the other fool? We're told in the Bible by our Lord that we ought to be very careful about calling somebody a fool. And yet he often used the expression. I think we better be careful about anger and being impatient with folks and that kind of thing, where we use the word inadvisedly. But if we follow our Lord and what he teaches in the Word, we can say from the Word of God that some folks are food for the devil. For instance, Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 9. Fools make a mock at sin. Again, in Proverbs 14:16, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. Yeah, maybe the other guy, he can't take it, but I know how to hold my liquor. Oh, yeah, I noticed some others have gotten messed up with pornography, but I'll know how to limit myself. I can get by with it. Oh, yeah. I know some others have been dishonest, but I can cover it up all right. You're a fool. Who says so? God does. The fool rageth and is confident. Proverbs 26 and verse 11 is a very descriptive verse. As a dog returneth to his vomit. That's what the King James Version says. And that's good enough. as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. I think most of us have lived long enough to see the disgusting scene of a dog turning again to his own vomit. It's not very appetizing. But that dog is smarter than the man that continues to go back again and again and again to those old sins. A man is a fool who makes a mock at sin. And then it says in Galatians 6, verse 7, be not deceived. God's no fool. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You can't expect to live a sinful, carnal life and reap a spiritual crop. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? Another verse from Proverbs. Why, you can't walk on hot coals without your feet getting burned. You can't take fire and put it inside your clothes without getting burned by it. And you can't play with sin without getting burned by it. Not only young people need to listen to that, but all of you young adults and adults of whatever age, no matter how old you get, what is the age of consent? We can do certain things. There are some things we're to never do. Touch not the unclean thing. Then there is the self-sufficient food for the devil. Proverbs 12 and verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. You've met people that you can't tell them anything. There are certain students in schools that you can't teach them anything because they think they know it all. There are religious people. But the hardest thing in this world is to get them to see that they're sinners because they know it all. Self-sufficient fools. Proverbs 28:26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Well, my heart tells me I'm right. If you trust in your feelings, in your heart, God calls you a fool. I do whatever my heart tells me to do. You better read your Bible and do whatever the Bible tells you to do. Again, in Luke 11, verses 39 and 40, and the Lord said unto him, now do ye Pharisees, make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. Ye fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? Oh, well educated, cultured, religious. I mean, we're well adapted to our society today. And so therefore, I don't need anything. I don't need your gospel. I don't need your Christ. Everything's all right. God said you made clean the outside, and you're cultured and educated, and you're religious, but on the inside you have a heart that's wicked, that's depraved. Above all things, and you have a need. That's what God sees. And a lot of religious folks in our church today, including some of our fundamental churches. We know the language. We know what's expected. But it's the heart. The heart And inside is wickedness and bitterness and selfishness and covetousness and all kind of thing. And oh, we clean the outside of the glass, but the inside is dirty and filthy. I remember years ago, we moved to Greenville, Tennessee the first time. That's 50-something years ago. We needed a garbage can at our place. And I went to the hardware store. You remember those? Hardware store. And I bought a galvanized garbage can. They're all plastic now. But I got the garbage can, and it was bright and shiny on the outside. My neighbors had shinier cars, but I had the prettiest garbage can in the community. But it wasn't long until we started putting garbage in the garbage can. Now, the outside was beautiful. But you take the top off. Woo! And there are a lot of folks in our churches that are just like that. Oh, if you just let the top off of your heart and let the smell come out. And you see what God smells and what God sees. No, a man is a self-sufficient fool who's depending on his own works and his own religion and his own ideas. You need Jesus Christ. And then the fool that lives for material things. Our text in Luke chapter 12 tells about this farmer. Now, he was a good farmer. He knew how to take care of his crops. The Lord had given him that wisdom. And the Lord had blessed with sunshine and rain and all of that. And he is not criticized for being a good farmer. And when he saw what a bumper crop he had, he saw his barns weren't big enough. And so he says, I need bigger barns. And wisely, he constructed bigger barns. And he was not criticized for being a smart, successful businessman. But then, he said, all right, I've got it made now. This is the fulfillment of my life. I can take it easy and eat, drink, and be merry. And because of his conclusion, God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And that very night, the skirts of death came swishing through his room, and he went out into eternity unprepared. Thou fool. And what kind of world do we live in today? We live in a materialistic country. I don't know of any nation that's ever been more blessed materially than the United States of America. And in spite of the creeping socialism, dictatorial socialism in the country, we have still been greatly blessed. And a lot of people think, well, if I can just make so much money and put so much back, I'll have it made. Will you? Maybe Obamacare will take care of that. Maybe the loss of other things will take care of that. But if we ever get to the place where we think that material wealth, mammon, can bring satisfaction and fulfillment in life, we're a fool. We're a fool. Oh, listen. The only fulfillment in life is when we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. When we learn to put God first in our life, because as it says in 1 John 2, the world passeth away. And the lust thereof, But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Psalm 14 and verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Really, the meaning of the verse is, the fool has said in his heart, no God for me. And while there are a lot of people who are not known as atheists, they are atheistic in their philosophy of life. No God for me. I'll call on him to kind of help me when I go to the funeral or after the accident or in a financial crisis. Yes. But otherwise, hands off, God. I'll run my own life. No God for me. But my friend, any man who rejects Jesus Christ as his personal Savior is a fool. God made man with rationale. He gave us a brain. We're able to think and to reason. We are not animals. God created us in his image. But man fell into sin. And now sometimes he has a hard time reasoning about some things. But God says, I'll help you. Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I've done something for you, God says. I've loved you. I've sent my Son into the world to die for you on the cross. And his blood cleanses from all sin. Now come now. You can't save yourself. Let's reason together. In Psalm 119, verses 59 and 60, the psalmist says, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. What was the first step toward God? I thought. I thought on my ways. What do you want to think about? You want to think about the fact that you're a sinner and you can't save yourself. That only Jesus Christ can save. He came and gave himself a ransom for your sins. He paid the sin debt in full. And he is the only way to be saved. He didn't say, I am a way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's not one of the doors to heaven. He is the door to heaven. And a man is a fool that rejects him. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You remember when the Twin Towers were hit in New York, as the enemy flew in and those planes and those buildings began to collapse and people were jumping out of windows into eternity. Well, we're all in a tall building, as it were, and it's collapsing all around us. But God has been gracious, and he sent the fire department and run a ladder up to our window. There's no other way of escape. A ladder's been run up to our window, and a fireman bids us come. That ladder is Jesus Christ. How will you escape if you neglect so great salvation? And God has allowed me as his preacher to stand here this Sunday morning to plead with anybody that's not saved to come to Jesus Christ, the only way of salvation. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes in prayer, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. So you have a decision to make. Will you be a fool for the Lord, or will you be a fool for the devil? You're going to be somebody's fool, whether it's accounted a fool or whether it's a real fool. But you're going to be somebody's fool. You can't be neutral in this. How many of you this morning say, "Preacher, I don't care if they do call me a fool. I'm glad that I'm saved and I know the Lord, and by God's grace, I want to live for Him. No matter what the world says about me, I want to live for Jesus." If that's your desire, and you know you're saved, on your way to heaven, and you want to live a separated Christian life for the glory of God, slip your hand up real high. Let me see your hand. You're not ashamed to be a... Now, if you just barely want to be identified with Him, just barely raise your hand. But if you really are glad you're a Christian on your way to heaven, slip that hand up real high. You're excited about it. God bless you. You can lower your hand. Well, you say, "Preacher, I couldn't raise my hand. I don't know that I'm saved. And I don't know that I want to face the ridicule of the world. But I'm concerned about my soul. And I want you to pray for me that I'll be saved. Or if I am saved, I want you to pray for me that God will give me the courage to really stand up for Jesus and be counted as one of His. Please pray for me." I couldn't raise my hand then, or I couldn't raise it very high, and I want you to pray for me. Slip your hand up. High enough for me to see it and recognize it, then take it back down while our heads are bowed. Now, Father, I pray that this week there'll be enough folks that'll want to stand up for Jesus, that they'll come to this auditorium every night to hear the Word of God and try to bring some others with them. Lord, there's a lost world out there, a foolish world, or the world that's headed for hell. And, oh God, You've left us here as ambassadors to beseech men to be reconciled to God, a God whom they've offended, and whom we've offended, but by Your grace You saved us. And Lord, we want to see them saved by grace. Oh God, give us some soul winners. Give us some bold witnesses. Help us, Lord, as persecution increases in this country, give us the backbone to stand up for Jesus, and a heart full of love toward Him and toward others that'll keep us going. And then enough discernment in our head to help us to know the difference between issues and things we ought to take a strong stand on, and things that we don't need to be so dogmatic about. Lord, give us wisdom. But help us to stand for You in these days. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. What's our number, brother?
294.
294. What is that? Just as I am. I don't know of a better invitation. Just as I am. Look up this way, please. You may not even need the book. This is so familiar. Now, I wonder if there are some Christians here today that would pave the way for some others. You say, "Preacher, I'm not sure my friends know exactly where I stand. I'm not sure my neighbors know exactly where I stand, where my co-workers know I stand. I've been such a timid Christian. And I don't have that holy boldness. But I want it. I really want it." Well, then why don't you come ask God for it? You know, if you would take your stand here, it would help you to take your stand out of the world. But if you won't take your stand here, it's very doubtful that you're going to take your stand out of in the secular world. So take your stand. We are fools for Christ's sake. And then maybe you're here, you've been saved, been born again. You need to talk to the pastor. "Hey, I not only want to wear the badge, we're fools for Christ's sake, but I want to be a part of a church that stands like that. And you need to come talk to him about that. But if you're not absolutely sure you're saved, we love you and God loves you and we want you to be saved, you step out and meet us here, and we have a compassionate personal worker that will take you to one side and show you from the Bible how to be saved, and better still, how to know you're saved. And when you leave here today, you can go out here knowing that you're on your way to heaven. You say, "Preacher, is it that simple?" Come and see. As we stand and sing, "Just As I Am Without One Plea," you step out and come. On this first verse, you come. Just as step right on out. Come on to Jesus. Oh, Lamb of God, I come, I come. We're saying, "O Lamb of God, I come," but we're not coming. Now, I don't believe everybody here ought to come to the front, but I believe God had me preach this message for some reason. And you say, "Preacher, I don't even have the courage to step out and come." Well, ask the one next to you to come with you. I understand about being timid or maybe not being as bold. We can get bold at ball games and other things. Why can't we be bold for Jesus? We'll sing that next verse. Please come on this verse as we sing. Just as
precious Father in heaven, we pray that your Holy Spirit would be working in hearts. Lord, we know that there are some that need to come. They need to come and get things right with thee. They need to come to stand for thee. And Lord, I pray that they would be back tonight at 6 o'clock and that they'd be here at the services Monday through Wednesday at 7 o'clock. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would draw them unto himself. Father, we pray that you would help us to realize that you've not saved us just so we can serve ourselves. You've saved us to serve you. And I pray that that message might ring in our hearts and in our ears. And Lord, if we're not what we ought to be, I pray that we might get to that place, that we might seek thy face and have your work done in our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would dismiss us now with thy blessing. Watch over each and every one, and I pray that you'd bring us back again tonight. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you.